there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.
The volume. The 82-game NBA preseason is in the books. Now it's time for real basketball. The playoffs. Don't miss out any of the playoff action. DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. All you have to do, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You know the drill. Takes about 90 seconds. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Put in the code COLIN, C-O-L-I-N. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 to get $200 in bonus bets, and you get it instantly. Code is Colin, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. One no-sweat bet per new customer. Issued as one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/promos for deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, welcome in. We are live, officially live. John Middlecoff, former NFL scout. You've heard him on Three and Out podcast. And so far, my big takeaway coming into this draft was J.J. McCarthy was being overvalued. That was my big takeaway. So the Giants, Diana Russini reporting that the New York Giants were in on Drake May or nobody. So for people just tuning in, everybody's watching this. Caleb Jaden, Drake May, no big surprise. Marvin Harrison for, Falcons go, holy moly. That is interesting. We've had our first big surprise. This is live, by the way. Michael Penix Jr. going to Atlanta at 8. Oh, that's interesting. Well, what they're saying is Kirk Cousins is going to be a 2-year player, a 1-year player. By the way, how lucky is Penix? That O-line, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, two backs. How lucky is Michael Penix?
Wow, that's shocking. I think just because a lot of people, I knew scouts during the season that had Penix as a second rounder. I thought that was crazy, but there was a lot of talk a couple months ago that he was not a top 15 pick. And then to go to Atlanta after they just spent all that money on Cousins, they're also getting a guy coming off a torn Achilles, right? Who's not a great athlete. So I completely understand what they're doing. Maybe there's doubling. I mean, they're not, maybe they are doubling down on the quarterback position. They feel good about their defense. They have they've drafted 75 offensive skill guys these last couple of years. Their offensive line's good. Hard for me to hate.
Raheem Morris was an NFL coach, couldn't get the quarterback right, got fired. Goes to the Rams, becomes incredibly great friends with Sean McVay, And Sean McVay made it very clear, dude, we had Goff and moved off. So if Raheem Morris, who's a really smart guy, learned something, you know, as McVay's best friend, you can't be good enough or deep enough at quarterback. We had Goff and we moved off. And so I think this is Raheem Morris saying, listen, this is what I love about this move. A lot of these defensive coaches can struggle with how urgent is quarterback. This is like when Washington had a chance to go out and get people and Ron Rivera wouldn't make the move. Raheem's like, listen, I'm not only going to get Kirk Cousins with this stacked offense, I'm getting his backup. So I got to be honest, I like the move.
Well, think about this. Raheem Morris had a front row seat as the coordinator 2 years ago when Stafford went down and they were completely fucked, right? I mean, it derailed their season. So you're signing a guy to a lot of money who's a really good player when he was healthy, but he's coming off a torn Achilles.
Yeah.
And think about one of their guys in Green Bay just benefited a lot from having a young quarterback on the roster when the Rodgers things got weird. They didn't skip a beat, and now they're a team that everyone's going to love. So this is the old Ron Wolf thing, and Andy followed it. I mean, all these Kyle Shanahan guys, just draft these quarterbacks. You could argue, you know, if you're all in on Kirk Cousins this year trying to win, take a defensive player, especially a defensive lineman. Their sack production's been terrible. That's why a lot of people thought they would take an edge rusher or the Texas defensive tackle. But if you're going to go off the beaten path at this position, this guy's good, Colin. I mean, listen, he got hurt a lot, but he has not been hurt the last 2 years. To me, I love this guy. The one concerning thing is when he did play Michigan, who turned out was an NFL team, they were rattling him and he was way off. But that is a one game scenario. He has a large body of work. No one throws a better deep ball. No one just, I would say, start to finish this last 2 years, probably has had a better 2 year stretch. Jaden had a better season this year. Caleb had a better season last year. Same with Drake May. But over the 2 year body of work, you'd have to say Penix was the best, right?
Yeah. And I also think a lot of big game experience. I've defended him on Michigan. You know, my takeaway is a lot of NFL quarterbacks faced Alabama and Nick Saban and looked awful. A lot of NFL quarterbacks can face Georgia over the last 4 years and not look very good. I mean, CJ Stroud couldn't beat Michigan either. So, I mean, they had a stacked deck, one of the most talented teams in the last decade.
I listen, and I'm a Michael Penix fan. He's one of my favorite players in this draft. I think the concerning part about it specifically, though, is he was sacked 11 times during the season. Right. He had one of the best offenses, so he never got touched. So he played in somewhat of a situation like a lot of the Ohio State and Alabama guys have over their career, where it's a pretty unreal situation with awesome wide receivers, and he dominated. And then they started getting pressure. They started hitting him. And it's not like he's small. Like, I don't view him as slight quite like Jaden Daniels. But you were at the Oregon game up in Seattle, that Michigan game. Yeah. A couple of times you're like, is he going to be able to get up? That's the one. Now, get a little bigger. He doesn't have to play right away. Yeah. Is he immediately one of the better backup quarterbacks in the NFL?
Oh,
he's making eighth pick. He's making $6, $7 million. Seems like a pretty good deal.
He's the most talented backup in the NFL, officially. We can go with that. He throws a gorgeous ball. By the way, the Joe Alt pick by the Chargers, this morning I did a mock draft. Until 8:30 in the morning, I had the Chargers taking Joe Alt. I said, Harbaugh's just going to take the best tackle. And then I talked myself out of it for J.C. Latham, who Tennessee took, the best right tackle in the draft. I thought, no, he's got Slater at left. And so I talked myself out. Alex, one of my producers on the Herd on FS1, can back me on this. I had Joe Alt till 8:30, and I said, he's going to go get a right tackle. But Latham, you know, I can see Harbaugh just saying, just get me the best tackle. We'll figure out where to play him. Plus, Slater had an injury before. If Slater goes down, Joe Alt's a natural left tackle. So, and the thing about Alt is he's super athletic. He was a high school tight end and defensive end. Brian Kelly told me the other day on the show, their only concern was could they put weight on him? He was just so athletic. We're like, can we get him to 310? We're not sure we could. So Alt's not a bulldozer, but he's really nimble, really athletic, and just he's a house. But he's one of those guys with good feet. It's like the man upstairs does not give you a lot of 6'8", 320-pound guys with great feet, and Joe Alt's that guy.
I never bought. Now, who knows? I guess if Arizona had traded and someone taken a quarterback there and Harrison was also on the board, anyone that's watched Jim Harbaugh operate for 15, 20 years, he wants to play defense and run the football. And he, you know, for a former 15-year captain comeback quarterback, if you talk to anyone in the NFL, they're like, he's really more like an offensive lineman than he is a former quarterback. He gave that long kind of diatribe at the owners' meetings about the importance of that group. They already have the left tackle. The one concerning part is, doing my research, you know, he's never played right tackle in college. Sometimes when a guy makes a transition with your feet, it can mess you a little up. But I'm not even taking an educated guess here. I bet Jim loves that his father was an NFL player. You saw the size when they hugged of those two men. Jim has to just be really excited. You get his GM from Baltimore, big physical guys. We all know the way that he's going to want to look at the people he chose. There were four question marks with the Chargers: Bosa, Mack, and the two wide receivers. He found a way to keep the two pass rushers, and he got rid of the two wide receivers. I don't think that's by coincidence. Do you?
No, and Chicago, Caleb Williams at one. They just picked Roma Dunze, so back-to-back Huskies at 8 and 9. Chicago goes with another receiver. I got to tell you something. I thought they'd go defense here. I thought they would trade down or go defense. So Matt Eberflus, I figured he would pound the table because they have a great corner in Montez Sweat. I figured he'd pound the table for the edge rusher. But right now, look at this. We don't have a defensive player through 9 picks. Has the world changed in this league? So Roma Dunze, who to me, he is the most, there's just nothing. He did combine. He's productive. One of the things as a Husky fan, he got better every year. Like, he made a noticeable leap. He has not plateaued. The thing that was interesting, a lot of people thought the Jets would get a receiver, but Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady don't like young receivers. So I just don't see it. I just don't see it. So Roma Dunze goes to the Bears, watched him live, watched 15 of his games. I like the pick.
I was texting with a buddy who's a wide receiver coach in the NFL and is one of the better ones. And clearly most people in some order had Neighbors or Harrison and Neighbors. Rome was the clear 3 guy. And my question to him was, who's the best character guy, you know, in terms of the wiring off the field? And his response was Rome, and it's not close. And those type guys, because there are some question marks with his speed. And this guy said that there's a big difference in just pure speed, which Neighbors is faster than them all, and your ability to run routes and get open. And that's not a problem with Rome. The other thing is he's wired a lot. Like, and this guy compared him to Devontae, very serious, is all in on football, will do whatever it takes. The Bears clearly, you know, what they're looking for from a character standpoint, we've all been saying for a while, and I don't even think it's debatable at this point, there has never been a better situation, at least in my life, for a number one quarterback to go to in terms of his roster. So now he's got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore that are established high-end players. You add a receiver in the top 10. You have a good defense with some Pro Bowl-level guys. What more can a – most guys go Bryce Young, Carolina. Trevor Lawrence, Jacksonville. I mean, it usually is. Even Peyton Manning, right? They barely won 3 games. This guy goes to a team. It is not inconceivable if Caleb is just solid immediately. Are they a 10-win team?
Yeah, no, I think you have to feel this is the best day for the Chicago Bears since the Super Bowl win in the mid-80s. This is a tremendous day for them. Now, by the way, we have a trade. The Jets and the Vikings have flipped. The Vikings at 11 have moved up to 10. The Jets at 10 have moved to 11. That would probably signal Minnesota's not going to mess around. They're going to go with a quarterback. My guess would be they don't need anything else offensively. Maybe there's an edge rusher, but they accumulated. The one team, even in my mock draft today on FS1, the one team I had moving up in the top 12 was Minnesota. They accumulated that second pick. My thing here is they're not going to mess around. They're probably going to go get J.J. McCarthy, who I said this. Whoever Minnesota drafts at quarterback will succeed. I didn't care who it was. It didn't matter if it was Penix, Bo Nix. My least favorite quarterback of all these guys is J.J. McCarthy, but I think now he'll be very successful because he doesn't even have to play. I talked to an executive about a month ago. He said he needs to sit. He maybe Thanksgiving year one, but he's not ready to play right now. You don't go from that Michigan situation to running around. It's a big, big leap. Whereas Drake May ran for his life in college at times. He may run for his life in New England. Like, he's used to that stuff. Yeah. So, and the Jets move back. By the way, the Jets probably, do we know if they got a second round pick for that? A fourth and a fifth. Okay, Jets want picks. That's what they want. Yeah. It's a deep draft in the wide receiver, so the Jets got a fourth
and a
fifth.
They don't have a second rounder, right?
No, but they want receivers and tight ends, and you can get those in the fourth round and on. So So let's in review: Caleb, Jalen Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison. No surprises. Top four. Joe Alt, a bit of a surprise, though. A big physical player, not a surprise. I thought the charge. I was told the Chargers wanted to trade down. I was also told they were not getting what they wanted. Malik Nabers, basically, Diana Russini reported that the Giants were Drake May or bust. All right, the Vikings have picked J.J. McCarthy. I said it a month ago. I said it 2 weeks ago. It's the furnished apartment for any of these quarterbacks. Add some water and Diet Cokes. You're set in the fridge. He's going to sit behind Darnold. I think with Darnold, they're a decent team. Do you?
I do. I mean, I like Sam Darnold. Obviously, so does Kyle Shanahan. He knows a thing or two about football, and it looks like Kevin O'Connell does as well. So I'm always a big believer in, like, who likes you, who believes in you, and the right guys are in on this guy. It's like, yeah, the Adam Gase thing happened, but that was a long time ago, and I'm not sure Adam Gase is in the league now. So when I look at J.J. McCarthy, the thing that concerns me is my comp for him was Alex Smith. And with Alex Smith, everything had to go right, and it took a while.
That's
now,
right.
Like
including
said,
the coach.
He gets to go to this furnished apartment. It's a lot easier. It's a turnkey place. So it's unlike a lot of places where if he would have gone to New England, I like Drake May. He's more of my type player, high-ceiling guy, because we all talked about the Adam Schefter tweet. Half these guys are not going to be that good, and some of it's going to be out of their control. Whoever New England took, I was out on. That organization,
same.
The young son now running it, he's the first guy you see on top of Elliott Wolf. I'm out. And I think Drake May is going to have a very rough time. My thing with J.J. McCarthy is he falls under Alex Smith. More Alex Smiths turn into Kenny Pickett's and Mac Jones than they do Kirk Cousins. And here's the thing with Kirk Cousins. He was a mid-round pick, so there was a lot less pressure on you. Or Brock Purdy, seventh-round pick. When you take more limitations with talent, now I do think J.J. is probably more talented than Alex, little worse athlete, little better arm, but everything has to go perfect. Now, like you said, they're pretty loaded at wide receiver. They have a good offensive line. They have an offensive head coach who's the play caller, so he has a lot of advantages. And with Sam, assuming it goes well, like there's going to be a little pressure on them too, and that division's hard. I mean, the Bears are going to be good. We know
That's
the Packers are good, and the Lions are a powerhouse.
The good thing, though, there really isn't a great defense. The Giants' defense or the Bears' defense is good, but it's mostly an offensive division. So, like Sam Darnold, when he went to the AFC East, faced at a time Brian Flores, Bill Belichick, and Sean McDermott.
Yeah, ate him alive. Like,
that's a lot.
This
division is, you know, Lions defense, Packers defense, frankly, I think it's a well-run organization. When was the last great Packers defense? I always feel like they underachieve on defense, but they're always formidable on offense. So it's an offensive division. The Bears have I think they have a Eberflus, Montez Sweat, two nice corners. But I don't think it's the Ravens. I don't think it's the Chiefs' young defense.
I do think you need to factor in, and I do this too, is you got to be careful in the draft about playing time and experience. And because of what happened in 20, all these guys got the extra year. Jaden Daniels had a huge advantage over guys like Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, whose high school seasons were wiped out, right? I mean, these guys are very, very young. Even Caleb, very, very young players. Like, we got a pretty good idea what Michael Penix Jr. is, right? I mean, he's like 23, 24 years old, and it's good. And same thing with Jaden Daniels, who's a little more of a one-year wonder. J.J. McCarthy, just a couple-year starter, 21 years old. Caleb Williams, Drake May, same thing. So part of the thing with a draft prospect is it's not about 2024. It's really about the next 5 years and ideally a second contract. So I think they're kind of betting on the growth. And he gets to go to a good spot. But here's where I give Minnesota credit, and maybe just fell this way because they got a lot of no's, is mortgaging a couple first-round picks and next year's one for J.J. McCarthy that's insanity, right? That's awful business in any industry. They really just had to trade a couple mid-round picks to get up a pick to end up getting him. So the value on him, I think it ended up playing in their favor. Do you agree with that? Like they didn't give a haul. Again, like I would take Drake, but Drake is off the board. So they didn't – the first three quarterbacks, obviously the Bears and even Washington, they weren't talking deals. And even New England, because their owner – is desperate to get everyone to stop talking shit about the crafts, was like, you get Drake May in here, and now all anyone's talking about Drake May. So you're really getting the third or fourth quarterback off the board, and then Atlanta kind of comes in from the top rope out of nowhere and takes Penix. Who knows if they would have taken Penix over JJ? Probably, maybe they just like JJ the whole time.
Well, it's interesting. Atlanta likes Penix over JJ McCarthy, it looks like. I mean, that's clearly what they the
for
decision.
Sure. Yeah.
He throws a much better deep ball. So, I mean, I think the big surprise through 10 picks is that Penix is higher valuation than JJ McCarthy, who everybody had. I didn't buy it. I don't. I think literally JJ McCarthy succeeds in one place, and he got lucky. He landed there.
Let's do this exercise. Flip the two quarterbacks on the two teams. If you put Penix on Michigan, they're better. At worst, they're the same. And if you put JJ McCarthy on Washington, there's no way they're in the national championship game. Zero chance.
That's right. That's how
they'd be good. I mean, they'd win nine games, but they don't beat Oregon twice. And they definitely, they're just not in the national championship game. No chance.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me!
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybun, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, no big surprises yet. There was discussions today about the Rams moving up potentially to the Bears to get Brock Bowers. There's a lot of talk about this. It's interesting because from what I know about the Rams is that they have a first, a second, and two thirds. They feel they have five needs, and those are four good picks. By the time you get to, they have two fifths, but by the time you get to the fifths, I've most of the NFL guys I've talked to think it's a good draft through five rounds. Late fifth round, Rams have a couple.
A lot of guys went back to school, so it hurt the depth.
Yeah, so there's not a ton of depth. It's a really, really good draft early. Quarterback, tackle, edge rusher, but mid-fifth, late fifth, it gets a little wonky. So the Rams have a bunch of six-round picks. I think they want to get out of that space and get another fifth. They'd give up all their six and a seventh. So I do think when I heard today the Rams would move up, I was surprised because I thought they were going to move back to get a fourth round pick. So I'm interested to see what the New York Jets do here. It's coming any second. So what does this tell you with the Jets taking time? There's some discussion in the room. Like they're probably, I think they like Brock Bowers. That's my guess. But, you know, Aaron's never been great with young targets, but Greg Cosell told me today, Brock Bowers does some things better than anybody in 44 years covering the draft on film. His ability to transition from like pre-catch to post-catch after the ball in his hands, he said there's no transition. He's running full speed before and full speed after. There's just no transition. So
I think he's one of the best players in the draft when you just factor in he went to Georgia in the height of their talent and dominated immediately. And it's not like he's a Southern guy. They got him out of Napa, California, which last I checked isn't exactly producing Bosa brother type talents. And I'm sure he just annihilated those guys in practice every day. They take him.
Okay. Jets take a tackle. I think this is the prudent, smart thing to do. Olu Fashanu, Penn State. Don't believe he allowed a sack this year for Penn State. He's not a dominant run blocker. He's not real physical. But I like this pick by the Jets. I said this. If Aaron Rodgers starts 17 games, the Jets will be viable. Period. Make the O-line the priority. If Aaron Rodgers gets a great receiver, it doesn't mean anything if he's on his ass. I don't care. So I like this pick by the Jets. This is the responsible pick to me. You bring in a guy who's an excellent pass blocker, mediocre run blocker. You add some physicality. I like the pick. It's a grown-up pick to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the easy route would have been to take Bowers and to put all your chips in the middle of the table and just pray your two tackles stay healthy. But I think we have enough evidence with their offensive line that by no means can Joe Douglas and these guys prepare for that situation, that you just get 16 out of 17 games from Morgan Moses and Smith. I also think, though, if those guys do stay healthy, here's the problem, Colin. If they do stay healthy, you're getting really nothing out of your first-round pick in a year where they kind of are. I mean, if they don't make the playoffs, everyone's getting fired. And this Aaron Rodgers is one of the biggest debacles of all time, given, I mean, the best thing he did for them if they don't make the playoffs is giving them a discount, right? He took $30 million off his contract. But they trade a first-round pick. They trade a second-round pick. Last year, they sucked. I'm out. I'm out on them this year. I mean, their whole team is full of guys that are a hamstring, Achilles, and a pulled muscle away from missing a ton of games. And then all their history, including the linchpin of the whole thing, who's a 40-year-old guy coming off Achilles. I don't care how much ayahuasca he's sucking down and stretching he's doing. I just, you and I talked about it. The moment he got hurt, it was pretty clear. If you just watch those couple snaps, he's not quite as fast. And this was before the Achilles as he once was. And remember the year with Green Bay, they got better the following year when they got Jordan Love. So I get it. Like from a football standpoint, 100% the right move. 2024, little risky. He's thinking the big picture. I give him credit for that, but he might not be around to. This was also a player who a lot of people thought was going to come out last year and be a top 15 pick, went back to school, and just turns out there were a lot of other good tackles in the draft. So it's, I mean, this is a, it's fair to say a blue chip level prospect for the last 18 months in NFL circles.
Yeah, the last two picks, it's interesting. The first seven picks will all play, I would think, immediately. Penix may sit for a year. McCarthy will sit for a year. Olu Fashanu will play some this year. How much he starts, I'm not sure. But I will say this, first time in NFL history, top 10 was all offense. And as of right now, the top 11's all offense, as Denver's on the clock at 12, Raiders at 13. So I think this is something I've been ad nauseum on for years, probably irritating people. The last 10 coaches that have made the Super Bowl have all been offense. I think this is what, I mean, this is exactly what the draft should be. Unless you have a great edge rusher and Aiden Hutchinson, Dallas Turner's a really good edge rusher. I think Jared Verse, honestly, was the most dominant I saw when I saw him play. I thought he really like jumped off the I thought Dallas Turner was your classic, Alabama athlete. I thought Jared Verse was actually the best edge rusher. When I watched him, now this may have been the ACC competition against Florida State, but I watched him and you're like, oh, nobody can block. He's just way better than competition. A lot of that just SEC has NFL tackles. Maybe the ACC doesn't. But, Sean Payton. Now, my guess is I know he likes Bo Nix. But here's the problem. If it's a reach, fine. But the Raiders at 13 need a quarterback. They like Jaden and Penix, and they're both off the board. So 12 and 13 are fascinating. In division, both need a quarterback. I think Denver's going to – I'm going to guess Bo Nix here. I think in that division with Harbaugh, Herbert, Reed, Mahomes, you got to take a swing here. To me, that's what it feels like. And their O-line, by the way, Peyton built that thing in 1 year. It was top seven by PFF. So you don't have a need there. Mims and Cortland Sutton, you can get a receiver later. They need an edge rusher and a quarterback for the future. I think Denver's actually, I think their roster's okay. It's not great, but it's okay.
I think taking Bo Nix in the first round is pretty nuts. But the way he wants to play, let's face it, Drew Brees the last couple years, when they were successful in the late teens, like 17, 18, was not bombing the ball down the field by any means. Get rid of the ball fast. Get rid of the ball accurately. And Sean Payton, sneaky's kind of got a little old school Bill Parcells. He will run the ball once he got Alvin Kamara. So could you just function immediately? Because let's look at their quarterback room right now. It's Jared Stidham and Zach Wilson and DiNucci. I mean, you if that's your quarterback room going into the season, I don't care if Sean Payton turns into Bill Walsh. I mean, is that a 6-win team at best? You'd be in major trouble. In major trouble. So I just call it, I don't know, Bo Nix. I mean, it's same thing with J.J. McCarthy. Before this quarterback inflation of the, you know, the Mahomes and Josh Allen's hitting, I think those type players historically have all gone after pick 50 forever. And I get it. You could say homes we're all living in now used to be $400,000 and now they're $1.5 million. It is what it is. The difference is you got a place to live. The quarterback, the pressure immediately, you see these guys just flame out so fast. And I had a take the other day. Like, I understand you get offered $90 million. I don't care if you're already rich. It's hard to turn down. But you have to wonder if the way this thing has played out, and we could all see it coming. You said from the beginning, like, I don't think him and Russell are ever going to work. And he's never going to be a bad enough coach to be drafting in the top one or two. Like, even if his team sucks, he'll still find a way to draft somewhere between like 9 to 14. It was a tough job the moment he took it. The money overwhelmed him, but I wonder if he regrets it.
Okay. I could see Sean here just saying, screw it. I'm taking Brock Bowers. I got Cortland Sutton's my one. Mims will be my two. I like Williams, the running back. I'm just going to take the best player available. And I don't think there's any question. Brock Bowers is the best player available. I don't think that would be crazy. Wow. Denver. Okay. They reached. So Bo Nix. I'll tell you what. Brock Bowers is the best player. I mean, holy, somebody's getting a star. And I know the Rams want him, so the Rams have to now be thinking about, do we just move up to the Raiders? So Bo Nix to Denver. Well, okay. Well, again, they need a quarterback. Listen, here's the thing. I saw him play live twice. Here's what I liked about him. He's more athletic than you think.
Well, he's a good athlete.
Really good athlete. Little Alex Smith, like little. I mean, Alex gets on the run. You're like, oh, Alex can outrun linebackers. Alex is fast. Bo can move. Bo's got 61 starts. The Oregon offense, to some degree, is Drew Brees's. I'm going to design a play with two options. Throw it to it. So remember, Bo doesn't throw a good deep ball. Brees last 5 years, he didn't throw a great deep ball. So my take is, Sean talks himself into, listen, I won with Sean, who was the best quarterback in the league with no deep ball the last 4 years. Let's be honest. Patrick Mahomes no longer throws a deep ball. The deep ball is great if you have Tyreek Hill and a handful of receivers. Not a lot of teams are throwing the deep ball consistently. If you have A.J. Brown, it's great. Most teams don't have A.J. Brown. There's a lot of good teams in this league, John, that don't have an over-the-top star receiver.
49ers never throw the ball deep.
Ever. And they're looking to move Ayuk. So my take on Bo Nix is he's a young breeze. And you could say, well, that's ridiculous. But Bryce, the guy's been to the SEC. The Pac-12 was the best it's been in 20 years. He was very good.
He was awesome. I feel like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because we always talk about the importance of the wiring and the character and all that stuff about Bo Nix. People love what he kind of became at Oregon, the way they talk about him. I also think you got to be careful when you're evaluating the player of falling in love with that. And clearly Sean puts a premium on it. I mean, he spent 15 years around one of the highest character guys in like league history in Drew Brees. And that's where, again, you get back to the Kenny Picketts, those type players, the Mac Jones, where you fall in love with the character and the physical attributes. Is this also as simple as they were desperate? I mean, like we just talked about before they made the pick, what were they going to do? roll into the season with DiNucci and Zach Wilson. I mean, they didn't have a choice. They really did. And the good thing is with Stidham, I mean, Zach Wilson's not even a lock to make the team. He's got to beat out DiNucci. Bo Nix, people are going to want him to start week one, but there's no guarantee. You don't have to do it right away if you don't feel he's ready, right?
Michael Penix went at 8. People had him in the second round. So people say, well,
Bo Nix is a reach. Michael Penix at 8 is the shock of the draft. A lot of us thought Bo Nix would go to Denver. Nobody thought Penix is going 8.
Especially to Atlanta. If you told me before the draft Michael Penix went 8, I thought the Raiders would have traded up to 8 to get him because they were pretty desperate. That's what I did in my little mock draft. I also think, though, a little different than last time because actually very similar. You know, 5 quarterbacks went in the top 12. Mac Jones' year, 5 quarterbacks went in the top 15. Quarterbacks went 1, 2, 3. And beside Trevor Lawrence, all those quarterbacks are on different teams. Little bit different, right? That draft was coming into a season when the season was all fucked up. Trey didn't even have a season. The Big Ten just played conference opponents. Half the games didn't even happen. But and these guys have played a lot more football than that crew. But we do have a recent example. Well, 5 quarterbacks went really high in the draft, and 4 of them were traded before year 4 started. One of them didn't even make it the third year, and Trey Lance was traded before the start of the season. The other two, the other three, I mean, the teams couldn't trade fast enough. They just couldn't get anything for it. They not only traded, Colin, 3 of them went for 6-round picks. So it's not like, well, something happened. I mean, they went for nothing. So it just shows you, the Schefter tweet, 46% of these quarterbacks, only 46 get a second contract. I actually think that number is going to keep kind of staggering around there or even going below it, given the amount of guys coming in.
Right.
Some of these guys are not only not going to work, it's going to be really, really bad. Now, you would say Kevin O'Connell, J.J. McCarthy, you'd want an offensive coach. Bo Nix, Sean Payton. Like, part of Mac Jones was he had Belichick and Patricia, right? So it was Justin Fields, who might not be any good, had a weird situation. Trey Lance, Kyle just turned on him early because he wasn't good enough. And Zach Wilson also, same thing. Character, I would say, was a defining spot for, I mean, Mac Jones turned out to be pretty immature, couldn't handle it. And same thing, Zach Wilson was completely overwhelmed. These guys are very high character, at least when you talk to NFL people. They feel very good about this group's wiring and off the field stuff.
Also, this group of quarterbacks has multiple years starting, huge advantage. The other thing is the less talented guys, J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix, go to offensive coaches. The more talented guys, Caleb, Jaden, and Drake, go to defensive coaches. So generally, a more talented guy will be able to overcome more issues. J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix are not going to a defensive old school coach and winning in this league. But you start looking at McCarthy and Bo Nix with Kevin O'Connor and Sean Payton. And by the way, Minnesota's stacked. And I'll make this argument. I think Denver's actually got good players. I like a running back. Bowles is a great left tackle. I thought Sean did a great job to upgrade the offensive line. Cortland Sutton, Mims. So I think Denver needs, I mean, they need an edge rusher and a couple of weapons, but I don't think Denver is without talent. I don't. And I think Russell may be worse than we think.
I would say this too. The division, the Chargers have a long way to go talent-wise, but they upgraded. I mean, they couldn't have upgraded anymore with the coach. The Chiefs.
Okay, the Raiders. The Raiders took Brock Bowers. Okay, so best player on the board.
There's a lot of talent in that division. That's the one thing I would say. There's high-end coaching. There's a lot of talent. And clearly Denver and Vegas are looking up, right? The Chiefs are the cream of the crop. And it's going to be hard not to like the Chargers immediately with Jim Harbaugh to compete to win, what, 9-10 games immediately? Well,
they had Darren Waller a couple years ago. He left. He may retire. So you have Devontae Adams and Brock Bowers. You know, that's a quarterback room right now with Gardner Minshew. Now, Minshew put up big numbers with Shane Steichen. Take a deep breath. He's not going to put up those numbers. You know, Shane Steichen is different. He is as sharp as any young offensive coach. Antonio Pierce is a rookie defensive coach. They're going to be more of a more physical football team, a different culture entirely than Indianapolis. But Devontae Adams and Brock Bowers for Gardner Minshew, those are real weapons. Those are elite people.
I will say this about the Raiders. Quarterback, major concern, question mark, and they don't have one. They have a lot of high-end players.
at the right spot.
Yeah, Max Crosby, elite. Colton Miller, high end. I mean, Bowers, to me, is one of my favorite players in this draft and one of the more talented tight ends in a long time to come out. Obviously, I mean, they did lose the running back to Green Bay, but they got talent. There's no doubt about that. It's just quarterback. What are you going to do? Play with O'Connell and Gardner Minshew against Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert?
So my guess is the Raiders will absolutely be in play for Michael Pratt from Tulane, the quarterback. They'll absolutely be in play.
Might be their second-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he is the one guy after the first round that when I watch him, I think, you know, he's your classic second-round quarterback. Andy Dalton is the comp. There's nothing you look at, arm, size, mobility, and go, wow. But you look at him and think, well, he's a better version of Brock Purdy. He's a bigger hands, bigger kid, a little bit better athlete than a Brock Purdy. Now, they don't have those weapons, but you don't have to have, I mean, let's be honest, cognitive ability, tons of college starts, that can win you games in the NFL. This is a kid with 4 years, didn't transfer, got some offers, I imagine, transfer portal, stayed in Tulane, and did not have great players around him, so therefore had to elevate other players in kind of a mediocre program, which was, you know, a mess when he got there. So I saw him play against USC, talented kid. So I think the Raiders go for a quarterback in round two, and I don't hate that.
I mean, the last time they got a 9-year starter in the second round named Derek Carr. I mean, they would die for Derek. So you can find, I mean, a lot of the second round historically has kind of been a sweet spot. Andy Dalton, Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo. You can get guys that don't have the hype, usually smaller school guys, a lot of production, kind of a sweet spot to get a guy that flies a little under the radar that we don't talk about as much leading up to the draft, but in NFL circles. Here's the other thing, Colin. How many teams now with Broncos off the board, Minnesota off the board, teams that are desperate to get a quarterback? Think how many teams in the NFL have like established starting quarterback. Maybe Seattle's a team to keep an eye on in the second round that could trade it. But there aren't that many teams at this. New England desperate, they got one. Washington got one. You know, there are a lot less teams right now to worry about in that second, third round if you really like a guy. It might even behoove you to kind of trade up and get aggressive just to make sure you get it because you never know. But who are you really competing against at this point in time?
5, 6. God, 6 quarterbacks taken in the top 12 picks. I mean, how the world has changed. So the Saints are on the clock. Saints need a tackle. So my guess is they get the Oregon State kid.
Good player.
Yeah, good player. So I know I think the Saints will go offensive tackle. That kind of seems fairly predictable. You know what? The Bo Nix Denver thing, I love that so much.
I think one of the things to keep an eye on right now is would the Colts are at 15, right? And the Jags, I think, are at 17. Would either one of those teams with some of these, you know, I guess there are still some good wide receivers on the board. Would they like one of those wide receivers, or would they be willing to talk with the 49ers about trading for Brandon Ayuk? Because these wide receivers, Colin, these contracts, I mean, all these guys are getting $30 to $32 million a year. And the 49ers, the way they operate their offense, you can't pay a guy $30 million a year to get 75 catches. You know, St. Brown got $28 million a year. He catches 120 balls a year. So it's part of it. There has to be some return on investment. Now, the problem is if I'm Balky or I'm Chris Ballard, I would rather have the wide receiver at pick 15 because he cost me $3 or $4 million a year for 4 years. You know, so that goes into the equation too. But there's been a lot of smoke because I cannot envision the 49ers paying Brandon Ayuk that contract. He's just the way they operate their offense, it doesn't make sense.
No, and it doesn't. And they also, first of all, he's been public with his anger. Organizations don't. Wide receiver, there's a term. It's not diva linebacker. It's diva receiver. So once they get verbal, once there's volume with a disgruntled receiver, it's like a big man in the NBA. Once they're hurt early, they're hurt often. You know, Embiid gets hurt early. It's the same thing with disgruntled receivers. If they're verbal early, they're verbal often. Stephon Diggs, eventually they moved him. I like Brandon Ayuk. I think he's the fourth or the fifth best receiver in the league, but I would move him. Because let's be honest, with McCaffrey, Kittle, and Debo, and Purdy moves well enough, you can move the pocket.
those are three really, really, I mean, McCaffrey and Debo are such Swiss Army knives. And to your point, Purdy's not an over-the-top thrower. I could see them just saying to themselves, we want a really high-end possession guy. If you put Cooper Kupp with the Niners, he's not going there, but it's like you don't need a deep threat. Purdy's not a big-armed guy. Like Denver with Bo Nix, you know, you don't need – he doesn't throw a great deep ball. Now, by the way, one of the reasons, you know, Atlanta looks and gets panics, good deep ball. Well, their takeaway is they want to be that kind of football team. By the way, in a dome, not bad weather. So far, hold on, let me look at it. We have not had a defensive player taken yet. We just did. Hold on.
They had to take one of the D linemen, I would imagine.
13 straight picks on one side of the ball, any round, any year. First time in NFL history that's happened. I'm going to guess the Oregon State tackle goes to the Saints. That's my guess.
I also think it speaks to every single year there is Myles Garrett, Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Clowney, and there just wasn't that guy this year, right? To me, the best defensive lineman was the Texas kid, Murphy, but he's 6'1", and he's a good player, and those guys historically go around 12 to 15. That's Aaron Donald, I think, went 13th. They don't go 5th. And all the pass rushers, I think the UCLA guy, if his medical was clear, he goes in the top 10. But when you're medically forced to retire with a neck injury, I'm sorry, it scares teams.
Well, I predicted it right. Talisi Fuanga, Oregon State tackle, goes to the Saints. That was pretty predictable. Need. He's a right tackle. Jeff Schwartz said he looked at all his tape this year. He did not lose a single snap running the ball. He won every single snap running the ball. He is the best run-blocking tackle. Some are saying, you know, in years. Just a tough, tough kid. So they go offensive tackle. That's neat. Derek Carr's not hypermobile.
Well, I think a lot of people feel about him. He literally could play all five positions. That improves your value. Like, he could play left tackle, he could play right tackle, he could play the guards. Makes you a pretty valuable player. He also comes from Jonathan Smith. I know some people watching might not be locked in on Oregon State. Guy runs a kind of an old school Jim Harbaugh operation, runs the ball down your throat. So I would imagine if you tell me in 5 years this guy's one of the better players in the first round, I think it's very believable.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me!
Bet you can't.
can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
John, this is crazy. So we're on pick 15. No defensive players being taken. I feel like I'm being validated. I didn't love J.J. McCarthy. He gets drafted after Penix. Bo Nix to Denver, I thought would happen. I'm an offensive guy over a defensive guy. I feel like this is my validation, my coronation as a sportscaster. I've been so anti-defensive coach for years. Good Lord. So we got Colts on the... So now Colts...
They could take one of these defensive linemen. I mean, there are just a lot of...
When's the last... Now, they have
DeForest... They have DeForest Buckner. They've drafted some guys that haven't been as good.
I think they're going to go defense.
They could go with the Alabama guy. I think if UCLA's medical was better, he'd be an easy pick. Jared Verse. The one thing I heard with Verse, and this makes sense, like the outdoor teams, you know, like the AFC North, he's a power guy. Makes a lot of sense for like Cincinnati, Baltimore. In the dome, think about some of these dome teams, the great pass rushers, a Jonathan Abram, a Dwight Freeney. It's more of a speed game. The Rams forever when they were in a dome in St. Louis. So I wonder if they take the Alabama pass rusher, Dallas Turner.
I also think when you have Shane Steichen, there is an understanding that Shane's going to get the most. I mean, Gardner Minshew had a heck of a season. He's not going to put up those numbers with the defensive.
They were a drop pass away from winning the division and being in the playoffs.
It's crazy. So, and that's nothing against Antonio Pierce, but Shane Steichen, I mean, go back to Justin Herbert's rookie year when he had Shane Steichen. Go look at Jalen Hurts' MVP year, MVP level year with Shane Steichen. Jalen Hurts, the minute he leaves, it's not the same player. So I think Indy looks at it and thinks, listen, we got a coach here. He elevates all of our offensive players. So let's go our first round pick. This is very Green Bay, by the way. They've always had offensive coaches. First round, they go defense historically. Green Bay loves their defense because their feeling is we've had Holmgren, Mike McCarthy, Matt LaFleur. Our coaches will elevate our offensive. They don't draft. The Packers never draft linemen in the offensive linemen first round. They haven't had a bad offensive line in 25 years.
Well, you could also justify it by going, well, we got to play C.J. Stroud and Trevor Lawrence 2 years away. And Trevor Lawrence probably won't be as shitty as he was last year. So we got to beat those guys four times. And now Tennessee gets an offensive, you know, coach in Brian Callahan. They've added some offensive weapons. Levis, I mean, he's a great wild card. He's got a lot of talent. If they just could get him on the straight and narrow, all of a sudden you're playing some quarterbacks. You could also say, we got this quarterback. Minshew was much more ready to play. He's pretty raw. The more help we could get him, they got Pittman. You could easily take one of these other wide receivers here. The other guy from LSU, who a lot Brian of people Thomas. Think Thomas is.
Yeah, I'm going to make a prediction rich. Here that we go on a little bit of a defensive run here. I'm going to say Indy and Seattle go defense. Indy, I think your point is great. You got Trevor Lawrence in that division. You got C.J. Stroud in that division. You need a pass rusher. I think that's a great point. I think Seattle, I mean, come on. They
don't need a wide receiver, clearly.
They at all. Now, they could probably use a tight end. There's nobody on the board here at this spot. So Seattle tight end is a need. They got a great corner last year. So Seattle, to me, is an edge rusher. I think we're going to have a chance here to go on a two or three or four straight defensive players picked. So, and then after this, you have Jacksonville. Jacksonville may go tackle at 17.
At you know 18, who's loving this right now, Colin?
What's that?
Is all the playoff teams. Because what wins in the playoffs? The trenches. The playoff teams in the 20s are licking their lips that some of these defensive linemen fall down there. You know, if Byron Thomas or somehow Dallas Turner falls to the early 20s, even Latu, whose tape, I mean, he's the most productive pass rusher in the country the last
Now, he's got
years.
Some injury stuff.
The neck injury is concerning, but...
Chop Robinson may go like... So I've subscribed to the
corner hasn't been picked either, which is pretty rare. Usually a top corner gets picked in the top 15.
Now that's Nate Wiggins of Clemson, who is viewed as sort of he got better every year at Clemson.
Weighs 175 pounds.
Yeah, he's not Patrick Surtain or Sauce. He's not. He's a good starting, maybe makes a Pro Bowl. But I do think, generally speaking, John, you know this as a former NFL scout, Generally, in a bad draft, you got about 15 first-round players. This one, I've told, you got about 19. The feeling is you got about 19 first-round picks here. So this is a really, really good draft. Again, it's very good at the top. Gets a little wonky mid to late fifth, I've been told by multiple executives, but it's really good here. So if Dallas Turner goes 15 or 16, wow, that is a good, good productive player, middle first round. There, a lot of drafts, John. Last year's draft, Dallas Turner's a top 7-8 pick, probably.
For sure. Well, the quarterbacks are pushing them all down, right? If you if six guys go in the top 12, I mean, there's only six position players off the board. So once think about the Raiders, they picked at 13th, and they probably got a top non-quarterback, top five player in the draft. So even the Saints, to get the Oregon State offensive lineman, there was talk about that guy going in the top 10 to the Titans. So you get a guy that easily on a given year, non-quarterback, could be in the mix to go in the top 10. It's just what happens when these quarterbacks go, they put you down. The other thing is those three wide receivers. So it's the six quarterbacks and the three wide receivers. That's nine freaking players. I mean, shoving all these players down. So kind of crazy.
All right, here we go. Let's see what the Colts do. Oh, UCLA edge rusher. Here we go.
He's the best.
Latu. Now, dominant Pac-12 edge rusher, fiery kid, some injury concerns. But all the stuff I read, Lance Zierlein, most people said he was the best pure pass rusher in the draft.
Not even close. It's not even, you talk to scouts, it wasn't even debatable. Dallas Turner has an all-time athlete. A lot of people thought, like, God, there should have been a little more. Versus all power, not speed. Also, I just know the way these conversations happen. Even though he today is different than he was. He started at Albany, Colin. I didn't even know Albany had a football team. And then transferred to Florida State, changed positions, puts on weight. And he's become a really good player. But like we talked about earlier, if you play in a dome, you don't want that power rusher. You want the speed rusher. So Latu, a great edge rusher. He's big. It is concerning, but never forget, he went to Washington out of high school when they were in their heyday with Peterson. I mean, recruiting high-end NFL guys. Then the neck injury happens. And listen, doctors aren't always right, especially when it comes to athletes. Told he could medically retire, he'll never play football again. Then he goes to UCLA for 2 years. He's one of the best players in the country. This is the hard thing about, like, Penix. So when a doctor looks at you and goes, I don't feel great, it's like, well, I've watched him for 2 years. He never missed a snap. What are you supposed to say?
I've been saying this on the show. I think we both said this. If you hear a guy will return in 8 weeks, John, on average, he's back in five. I mean, whenever I hear, out 8 weeks, no, he's not. He's back in five. Every 5 to 10 years in this country, we make medical advances. The quality of care today compared to when I was 35 instead of now 60, the quality of healthcare I've gone through. I go to the dentist now, John. My cleaning is 12 minutes. They have lasers. Remember when you used to get your teeth cleaned?
And no, it took hurt? 2 hours.
And it hurt. I go, I can't, my staff makes fun of me. I go four times a year. They're like, do you have a crush on the dental hygienist? I'm like, it's 12 minutes. I get free toothpaste. It's all lasers. So it's like that the quality of stuff, the quality of healthcare is, I'm texting Ballard. He's so good.
The other thing is the training of the players, I would say, over the last decade and where we are today is so much better in college at these Power Five programs than it was 30 years ago. When I was at Fresno State in 2009 and 2010, we would 2 days a week after practice go to this local, it's called Rallies. You ever heard of Rallies?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
The burger joint, and get like 100 double cheeseburgers. And they were not good for you. And that's what you'd hand out to the players. No team is doing stuff like this was 12, 14 years ago. So the level of care they have for themselves, let alone the training, is just in a different level. The other thing is, I had Mayock on the show a couple of weeks back, and his whole thing was when doctors would push against a player, he'd go, well, yeah, this guy was injured at 19. He's 22 now and has missed one game in 3 years. And you're telling me he's not a durable player. Like, I've just watched him. play in the SEC or the Big Ten or the, like you said, the Pac-12 this year was a very physical, good conference. So if this guy's hanging against all these NFL offensive linemen, you know, he's just...
I'm going to my second soda, John.
I don't blame you. That's a good pick stay, by the Colts.
Gotta stay
hydrated.
He stays
healthy. Right? That's a big-time pick.
I want to go to the sauce right now so badly, but I can't. I got to stay hydrated. I got staff here. I feel like my family's killing me. I tell my family, dad's working tonight. I got 13 messages. People, it's draft night.
Same.
Why don't you do that in August 3rd? I got nothing to do.
How come Adam Silver couldn't find a way to get the Laker game and the Knicks game on Friday over tonight? What are you doing? These are your two biggest series. I mean, this is insane. I haven't watched a dribble tonight. And those series have been fantastic.
Yeah. So my guess is Seattle goes edge rusher too. That's what I'm going to guess.
Defensive coach. This is where they've kind of got stuck, Colin, in this Geno Smith business because their roster is not bad. They've been competitive, but they can only do so much. Like, what's their upside as a team? 9-10 wins? Where their downside could be 5-6 quick.
John, Arizona's got 11 picks. They already got the best receiver. They have another first coming up. They have three in the third and the second. Arizona is going to be a different team by Sunday afternoon. They're going to probably have seven new starters. And I like this coach. They've got a tight end I like, a running back, and now a star receiver, had a weak receiving group. I've always liked Kyler Murray more than everybody else. You know the defensive side last year, despite a lack of talent, played really hard. Arizona's going to come out of this weekend, and Seattle may be the fourth best team in that division.
I had a wide receiver coach buddy who I was texting with had an interesting point. He said the one thing that's difficult for these guys, they get drafted really high, is they go to such terrible situations where they're immediately walking the room and everything has to depend on them. Like Marvin Harrison has to catch 80, 90 balls for the offense. Yeah. And that's a lot of pressure for young players where a lot of guys get to go to a position and maybe there's another good wide receiver in the room and it takes a little off them. Like Marvin's immediately going to be treated by defensive coordinators like all these star wide receivers in the NFL. It's going to be, and you're not getting Purdue on the schedule. Rutgers isn't on their schedule. It's the Niners. It's the Rams. It's, you know, it's tough. So that's where Rome really benefits. He kind of gets to ease in. He's got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. Yep. If you told me he had a more productive year just because he's going to have less, I would say, eyeballs on him on a weekly game plan standpoint, right? Where if I'm playing the Arizona Cardinals next week, Trey McBride's a good player. That tight end for Colorado State, he's really good. But Marvin Harrison's getting double teamed until you prove you got anything else in your group. Where Rome Odunze, all of a sudden, he's playing the slot with those, where he's playing outside, and you got Keenan Allen in the slot and DJ Moore out, he might just sneak into 65 balls and seven touchdowns as a rookie.
Well, the good news is they've got another first. My guess is they go defense with a defensive coach. Then they have a second. Again, they've got the quarterback. So Houston turned it around, and they didn't have their quarterback with all these picks and free agents. Kyler can play. So my take is they're going to get another receiver, John, in the third where they have three picks because they need another edge rusher. I think they need another corner. I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona didn't go defense here because I actually think they're in a pretty good spot. Their offensive line's pretty mediocre, but I think they need an edge rusher, a corner. Listen, I'm sitting here looking at – I got Seattle, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, and the Rams – I can make an argument. Jacksonville probably needs an offensive lineman. Probably. I could see Pittsburgh lost Deontay Johnson going and getting Brian Thomas, the wide receiver from LSU, who doesn't have a big route tree, but is classic Steeler, big moves, over the top playmaker. So
Jacksonville could take a wide receiver as well, though, because they lose Ridley to the Titans.
Good call.
That's why there's been a lot of smoke with them, with Brandon Ayuk. You know, Cincinnati, one thing they do is they, you know, T. Higgins, a couple years ago, they had Bates, who's now on Atlanta. They franchised, then he walked. They're not signing T. Higgins to a long-term deal because it's all going to go toward Ja'Marr Chase. Wouldn't shock me if they went wide receiver to kind of stock the cupboard when he leaves. They're just ready to hit the ground running. Well, so
and they just
this
lost
could be a little wide receiver. Would the Rams go wide receiver with Kupp getting a little older? Would they go line?
No, I don't think so. I think they want an edge. I think the Rams now are sitting there thinking, are we going to get Dallas Turner at 19?
I could see Seattle with Mike McDonald, defensive coach, that's my guess. Ozzie Newsome loved Alabama guys. He's a Baltimore guy. I could see him liking the Alabama crew. Sometimes you got to look at like where these guys come from, what they think. Now, John Schneider, for the first time, I mean, this is his baby now, right? With Pete long gone. So
the last two drafts have been John's drafts, and I think they've done a really, really good job. So here we go. Seattle at 16. We're kind of guessing edge rushers. That is kind of my guess. Let's see. All right.
I just have to wonder if they regret, I guess. Oh, they went off the board.
Byron Murphy, Seahawks go get a defensive tackle with their rookie defensive coach. You know, the Ravens are physical on the lines. The coach comes from Baltimore. So Byron Murphy, defensive tackle. What do you make of it?
Well, we've seen a lot of guys in this mold have a lot of success. He's 6'1". He can rush the passer. I talked to a guy that goes through the University of Texas as a scout. You know, the one big guy that got the DUI, yes. A lot of character concerns. This guy's the opposite. This guy's character, I've heard, is high level. They love him in that program. A lot of people think this guy's badass. I talked to a lot of people that thought this guy should be in the mix as a top 10 pick. Well, if Atlanta had not gone with a quarterback and had gone defensive line, like I thought, like most people thought they would do, I thought they were going to take this guy. So getting him at 16, and Byron Murphy, just based on the tape, that's pretty incredible value at 15 and 16. I mean, these are high-end impact players.
Now, I'm not going to comp him to Aaron Donald, but Donald's
in that mold.
A little small, 6'5", ball of explosion. He is the thing on Murphy is what they say is he's one of these defensive linemen. Again, God doesn't make a lot of these. No. Like really good feet. You ever watch the Aaron Donald like tire drills? You're like, the hell is that? That doesn't even make sense. What is he, a receiver? So this guy is viewed as small, explosive, great pad leverage, kind of blow stuff up, high character.
Ultimately, too, when you get a new coach, you want to play to the guy's strengths.
Yeah.
When you think the Baltimore Ravens defense, you think a dominant front. And one thing Seattle has really lacked, which is crazy since kind of that Richard Sherman run, when their defensive line, I saw that team play in person 3 or 4 times, from Bennett to Averill. I mean, they had guys. It was like, how are you blocking these guys? We talk so much about Richard and Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor. Their defensive, obviously their linebackers are good too, but their defensive line was awesome. The Ravens, when's the last time they didn't have a good defensive line? But when they didn't have a franchise in like the mid-90s, I mean, they've had a dominant defensive line the whole time.
The Volume.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.